This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast. This is the Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, for April 28th, 2024.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a few announcements for us before we start worship. The first is there are two events happening right after worship. One is coffee hour, which is always in the Great Hall. There are lots of great snacks and treats for you there, so stop by on your way to the back parking lot for our annual Swap It, Reuse It event. This is an event that we have every year now to celebrate our care of creation and share gifts with one another that we don't need in our home anymore. So please come and check it out. Take something home with you. And there's also donations for New Life furniture out there. So if you need to run home and get that little end table you've been meaning to take to donation, you can bring it here. We are also continuing that theme throughout the spring with our adult forum, which is Love and Justice for Planet Earth. That's going to be held at 10:10 every Sunday in the parlor. So come and be with us for that. We are encouraging elementary school age children who are here today to join us in the chapel for Donuts and Jesus. Hannah and Tommy are back there in the back, and they have donuts and Jesus in the chapel, so if you'd like to go with them at this time, you're welcome. And also, I want to let you all know that in your bulletin today, your first reading from the book of Acts is wrong. It's the wrong chapter. We're actually going to be reading chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a Bible in the back of your pew. It's black. There, Carol's holding it up for all of you. So you're welcome to bust that out and look there for that. And then my last announcement is if you look in your bulletin on page 21, you'll see a few QR codes. One's for offering, and one's if you're new to Church of the Redeemer. So if this is your first time visiting us, we're so glad that you're here. And I hope that you'll scan that QR code and get to know us a little bit better and let us know you more. If you've been here for a long, long time, and you meet someone new today, will you show them that QR code and introduce yourself? I would really appreciate that. So I think that's all of our announcements for today. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God as a new day begins.
Oh, okay.
What wondrous love is there, so much. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else. Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded them, the chariot, to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to let you know that the antiphon did not make it into the bulletin this morning. So I wanted to tell you the text of the antiphon, because I'm still going to expect you to sing along. So I'll give you the text. Michael will play the tune once. The choir will sing the tune once, and then we'll sing it with you. We'll do the antiphon at the beginning of the psalm and at the end. So the text for the antiphon is, "The Lord is my salvation and my help." Say it with me. The Lord is my salvation and my help. Good. We'll get through it together.
Reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away into the fire and burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord. the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A few years ago, when traveling anywhere was out of the question because of you know what, many homeowners thought of turning their own yards into destinations worthy of traveling to, and the staycation was born. My backyard was a blank slate full of weeds. They were green, but there was not a blade of grass in there. I wanted a place outside that was worth traveling to, a yard that reminded me of the places I'd been to and loved, a reminder of those places in my memory. Clear Lake, the working class resort of my early childhood with the woods and the hammock and arbor. Olympic National Forest in Washington. Glacier National Park, the Japanese Gardens in San Francisco and Spokane, and finally, Children's Fairyland in Oakland, and anything Alice in Wonderland, all together in one yard. Now, I'm too scrawny to dig a hole deeper than 3 inches. I just can't do it. So I hired a landscaper to plant the trees that I bought. In my usual getting carried away with everything habit, I eventually ended up with, in a medium-sized yard, 2 redbud trees, 3 magnolias, 7 dogwoods, and 13 Japanese maples, all different. Woodsy, right? After I planted, I told the trees, "You're on your own, not taking care of you." I did not want to actually work in my yard. I'm all for no-maintenance gardening. The trees had to take care of themselves. It was a transactional relationship between me and my trees. I gave them dirt. They gave me beauty, shade, and supplemental oxygen. I was not going to fuss over them. I wasn't going to water them, hug them, or prune them. I'm not a gardener. I'm a stay-at-home tourist. It ended up being a pretty nice yard with the decorations added, with the bridges and dry stream bed and Japanese lanterns and the self-pouring teapot and the white rabbit and so on. But because I do not tend my garden, a couple of trees have died, and a bunch of trees have branches that are dead, or at least they don't have any leaves on them. And other branches are scraggly because they don't completely take care of themselves. I'm really disappointed because I thought they would. I don't really give them the love and the care that they need, and so they don't always flourish. I don't abide in them, and they definitely do not abide in me. I guess I haven't haven't cared enough to prune what needs pruning, and I've treated them as kind of independent beings, independent from me at least. But Jesus cared enough. He doesn't just leave us to fend for ourselves, vulnerable to all sorts of dangers in the world. He cares so much that he doesn't just hang around sometimes and come visit us every few days. He abides in us. He dwells in us. And remember, God is love. Love dwells in us. As the vine, he is the source of life and love, and he wants to us to draw from that holy life and love. But sometimes we need some basic pruning. We need pruning or cutting out whatever keeps us from abiding in him, from living in his love. So Jesus gives life to the spirit and to the soul that is inside of us. In our interior life, we are a mixed bundle of branches of loves and fears and hopes and dreams, resentments, jealousies. We have maybe a praying to God branch, right? We have a how you treat your neighbor branch. We have a what comes first in your life branch. And we have a whoever cuts you off in traffic and what do you do branch. And so on. Some branches are worth keeping and nurturing, but some branches sprout that are unhealthy to our spiritual life and dangerous to our soul. Those are the branches in us that draw nutrients away from the healthy branches, the gospel branches. They keep us from being totally committed to the gospel branches, as it were. The grudge toward your neighbor branch threatens the love your neighbor branch. And when you feed and keep that grudge, your commitment to love of neighbor gets diminished. When I was a new interim rector 10 years ago, I made a decision to tell an informal assisting priest that she needed to leave the parish. It was policy, that's true, and allowable. Clergy are often asked to leave during an interim. But it wasn't kind, and it wasn't even strictly necessary. And it was just before Christmas. And I kind of knew it wasn't right for me to do because I did it partly out of insecurity and defensiveness. She was very hurt and angry. And for years, it gnawed at me. I needed to make things right, I knew. I needed to make things right with her. But I fought that needing to make things right with that traditional response, no, I won't say sorry. It was only a few years ago at diocesan convention that I bumped into her, and I apologized for what I had done to her. Now, we did both hug and cry, but Jesus had to prune the pride out of me before I could do that. It's hard to be pruned. It's painful even, just like it's hard to give up old habits and old practices. Change is hard. Transformation is hard. Humility is hard. It can hurt to have my bad attitude or my various beloved resentments and jealousies or my materialistic covetousness taken away from me. Secretly, I like those. But the bad branches end up starving the good ones. I shouldn't still keep resenting the man who borrowed my father's bagpipes 30 years ago and never gave it back. But the feeling is so satisfying to be that mad, so I keep feeding it. It feels so good to be mad at him. When we keep feeding our resentments, our unlovable, unloving habits, we starve the godly ones and we bear less fruit. That is, we have less room in our hearts for love. But it's hard to give up our old habits. We can't do it by ourselves. So Jesus says to us, reassurance, I abide in you. I'm with you, he says. My love is with you. I will not leave you. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. He says, lean on me. We can do it. We can abide in him. We can. It's an amazing thing that he promises that we can abide in the Christ, that God can live in us. Just think about it, how amazing that is. And that's the whole point of what Jesus is saying in this passage about the vine and the branches, that he abides in us and we abide in him. I know that's a lot of abiding. It kind of gets you off, you know. But what he's saying is we're together. He's saying that we're not only on our own, like my poor trees are. He's saying we're together here. He says, I'm with you, and you're with me, and we will do this mission thing together. Together, we will establish the kingdom of God. Together, we will set up the beloved community. Together, we will change the world. We will spread love together, and we will bring hope to the world together. Right after the passage that we heard today, Jesus tells his disciples, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As his branches, he asks us to carry out his love to the world. His co-abiding with us makes us interdependent with him, as we need him, who's the source of life and love, to empower us. So also, he needs us. He needs us, his hands and feet in the world, to carry out his mission, to complete his work in the world. That's why he prunes us, so that we can be fully committed to him. As the passage says, he prunes us so we can be more fruitful, so that we can go out into the world, as Gary would say, to love and serve the world. That's a big ask. How do we do it? That's a big ask. There's a story that I've heard about Jesus after his ascension into heaven, which we'll celebrate soon. His ascension when he meets with the angels up there in heaven. They're so excited that he has finally come back to heaven. And he sees the archangel Gabriel, and Gabriel says, "Jesus, Jesus, we're so glad you're back. But now, what will the people down there do without you? How will they carry out your work without you? How can they do that?" And Jesus answers. He says, "Well, I've been preparing them. I taught them, and I showed them what they need to do, and I made them witnesses to God. My disciples, Peter and James and John and the rest, they will spread the word to the people around them. They'll teach and baptize them, and those others will be witnesses too. And they will spread the word to still others. And it will go on and on and on until the whole world will know my message about God's love and God's kingdom. With my first disciples here, the message will grow and grow and grow until the disciples will be as numerous as the grains of sand on the beach. And the good news will be known to the ends of the earth." And then Gabriel says, "But Jesus, what if it doesn't work? What if Peter and the others don't follow through? You know how reliable they are. What if they don't spread the word like you say? What if they mess up? Do you have another way? What's your plan B?" And Jesus says, "Gabriel, I have no plan B. I'm counting on them. We are Jesus' plan A. He's counting on us. But he has prepared us for this work. He has pruned us. He came to abide in us, dwell in us, so he can teach us. And then, through him and the life that he gives to us, he's given us the strength and courage to love and serve him. And so that we can go out and fulfill his plan A. So now it's time. Let's go do it. Amen."
Please stand as you are able and join us in professing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Mother Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and God's kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, she is worshipped and glorified. She has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and works.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are our own.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek you truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Kristen, our bishop, and all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in the church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Nicole Ivy, Ryan Patel, Julia Heffling, and President Bishop Michael Curry. For those who are struggling with mental health concerns, for those who are sick and those who care for them. For the victims of the wars in Uganda, Ukraine, Sudan, Palestine and Israel, and for the unrest in Haiti and throughout the Middle East. For those impacted in the last week by gun violence, for the victims of the mass shootings in Thibodaux, Louisiana, Greenbelt, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Memphis, Tennessee, Oak Forest, Illinois, Yukon, Oklahoma, and Petersburg, Virginia. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering Tom Draper, friend of Patty Kovac. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls. And to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
My friends, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Christine, in the name of God and on behalf of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, life is short, and we have little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love, make haste to be kind, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit be among you now and remain with you unto the ages of ages. Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes. Okay. Oh. I don't know if I can. It's so foreign to me. It shouldn't be that foreign. Okay.